This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
All right. In the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God.
The truth and joy.
Let us pray. O God, you spoke your word and revealed your good news in Christ, in Jesus the Christ. Fill all creation with that word again, so that by proclaiming your joyful promises to all nations and singing of your glorious hope to all peoples, we may become one living body, your incarnate presence on the earth. Amen. Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned in what we have thought and said, in the wrong we have done, and in the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. Forgive us for our Savior Christ's sake, who renew our lives, the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal.
Amen.
Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, graciously grant this humble church peace and unity, if it is your will.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace. Peace with you. Peace be with you. Peace with you, Gavin, and peace with you. You're good. Okay. I'll squeeze by here so we can finish up here.
Sorry.
Actually, can I have a seat now, please? Who's got the first reading today? One more. Good afternoon, William.
Myself, the holy, the master that he prophet, who presumes my name, a word that I have not given prophet, who speaks their God, their prophet.
Thanks be to God. All right, who has a second reading today? Sorry? All right, Gavin. Stop. Play musical chairs here.
Reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Now, concerning the sacrifice of yourselves, we know that all is success. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food, offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Even though there may be so-called gods, and they are on their present back, there are many gods, and the Lord. Yet for us, there is one God, Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, for whom all are all things, and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has knowledge. And some have become so accustomed to idols, and so now this good thing is the food they eat is too offered to idols. And their conscience being weak is defiled. Who will not rid us close to God? We are no worse off if we do not, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not become assembly club. For if I lose he who possess knowledge being the blood of an might not be they might take off since their offensive feet were encouraged to do sacrifice to I. So by your knowledge, the weak brother your control Christ died. But when you thus sin against others and ruin the conscience, and it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their fault, I will never again, so that I may not cause them the fault. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gavin.
Please rise as we are.
With you.
Absolutely.
You read from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord, the word, the life. Pray about this. See you, please. Okay. I say good afternoon to you folks.
Many years ago,
when I first really began answering my calls to ministry, I was a youth minister at a small church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, called All God's Children Metropolitan Community Church, and was the co-founder of something we called the Rainbow Christian Youth Corps, which was a group of mostly young adults who identified as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. The rather official-sounding militaristic name was in response to the recent brutal murder of a young gay college student in Laramie, Wyoming, named Matthew Shepard. And I could go on and on about the times we had, and I probably will at some point. But to illustrate today, the point for today's lesson, I'll tell you of a rather difficult member who I butted horns with on occasion in the past. I was struggling with this young man in one of our weekly meetings. I looked him in the eye and asked a question I felt sure would bring him in line. "Brandon, who is in charge here?" That young man wasn't going to let me get away that easy. So he replied, "Jesus is." If ever a man spoke God's truth with authority, it was Jesus. It has been said that the scribes spoke from authority, but that Jesus spoke with authority. The first words he speaks in verse 15 come as a newsflash that the time is fulfilled, as if to say, "Time's up. You've been waiting how many years for the Messiah to show up? Well, I'm here." And right on time, God's people can trust in the perfect timing of God. He may not always come when you want him, but he's always right on time. And when he shows up, he's with supreme authority. We'll be a lot happier if we remember that sometimes God answers our prayers by saying, "Not yet." A man once asked God how long a million years was to him. God replied, "It's just like a single second of your time, my child." So the man asked, "And what about $1 million? The Lord replied, "To me, it's like a single penny." So the man gathered himself up and said, "Well, Lord, could I have one of your pennies?" And God said, "Certainly, my child, just a second." Just like everything about God is perfect, so it is that the timing of God is perfect. The Lord Jesus came right on time, and he will be right on time when he comes back to rule on this earth. We sometimes wonder how much worse things can get. Yet maybe Jesus has forgotten us. But no, he will not be late. Jesus then trumpets the news that the kingdom of God is at hand. At hand, meaning within reach, but not quite in hand yet. The word translated kingdom here comes from the Greek word basileia, and it means first, the authority to rule as a king, and second, the realm where the king exercises his authority. So, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. He is announcing his authority. In those days when King so-and-so invaded the land, he dethroned and overthrew the reigning power and released any prisoners that the ex-king had captured. King Jesus walks into Galilee. His objective is to dethrone and overthrow Prince Satan and to free his people from the power of evil and death. Satan would have shuddered listening to this sermon about the kingdom of God, but to the captive's ears, it would mean freedom and allegiance to a savior and king who loved them and who would rule wisely and justly. Unfortunately, the Jews didn't read Jesus' announcement correctly. When Jesus took his message into occupied Israel, where Roman soldiers could be found patrolling every street corner, most of the Jews read political revolution in the phrase, kingdom of God. But that was not what Jesus had in mind at all. His kingdom has to do with his reign in the lives of his people. And he has not lost his desire to reign in our lives, to reign over us, and to use us to change our world for him. Jesus wants us to follow him. That much is clear from today's story, where Mark teaches us two important lessons about Jesus. The first is, Jesus has authority to call us after him. Let's try to imagine this Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful freshwater lake fed by the upper waters of the Jordan River. It is 700 feet below sea level, 14 miles long and 6 miles wide. Plenty of room for fish. So as we look across the water, we see many, many fishing boats sailing upon the lake. Among those who fish this lake for a living are Simon and his brother Andrew. A little further down the water are James and John, sons of Zebedee, who is in the boat with his boys and his servants. Like most fishermen, these men have courage, an ability to work together, patience, energy, stamina, faith, and judging by the calluses on their hands, these guys are tough. But not so tough that Jesus is afraid of them. In fact, according to John's gospel, Jesus has met them all several months earlier. His preaching grabbed them by the ears and virtually demanded that they believe in him as the Messiah. So on this particular day, when Jesus comes walking along the Sea of Galilee, he's able to call these men from their regular occupations and make them his disciples. Follow me, he says. It's kind of a strange way to start a following. Usually when a rabbi or a teacher wanted to start a new class, he'd wait around in his classroom until his students decided to show up. Not Jesus. Jesus goes right up to the water and calls the fishermen right out of their boats. He tells them he's going to make them become fishers of men. And there's a warning here. We sing the song, I will make you fishers of men. But when the King James and NAS Bibles correctly tell us that Jesus is going to make them become fishers of men, we should see that this will be a slow and painful process. Later in his ministry, Jesus would explain that anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple. With a recruiting program like that, it's truly amazing that anybody followed Jesus at all. But verse 18 tells us immediately Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed him. A few verses down, we read that James and John jumped right out of dad's boat and came straight away after Jesus. The Greek speaks of a once-for-all action. No questions asked, no answers offered. He called, they came. William Lane points out that the stress in Mark's brief report falls upon the sovereign authority in Jesus and Jesus' call and the radical obedience of Simon, Peter, James, and John. So compelling is the claim of Jesus upon them that all prior claims lose their validity. Their father, the hired servants, the family business with the boat and the nets are left behind as they commit themselves in an exclusive sense to follow Jesus. Philip Yancey feels like he's been lied to by Hollywood films about Jesus films where Jesus recites his lines evenly and without emotion. He strides through life as the one calm character among a cast of flustered extras. Nothing rattles him. He dispenses wisdom in flat, measured tones. He is, in short, the Prozac Jesus. Then Yancey gives us the real picture by reminding us that the Gospels present a man who has such charisma that people will sit 3 days straight without food just to hear his riveting words. Paul wrote, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Jesus is just that compelling. And yet, the American Christian experience is that it takes every last ounce of our willpower to pull ourselves away from what we want to do and follow after him. When we finally leave the nets behind, we follow him around the block, and then we swim right back to our boat. One of the reasons we fail again and again and again and again is because we have in our minds Philip Yancey's concept of the Prozac Jesus, the mild-mannered Jesus who doesn't really care what I do and will forgive me anyways if he does. American Christians have this way of thinking that we're all registered voters in the democratic kingdom of God, and if we don't like where Jesus is leading us, we can veto his plan. In God's grace, in His grace, God sometimes let us get away with that for the time being. But today we have seen the reality of the situation, that the same fiery and determined Jesus that beats the devil down with the cross and frees you from his dictatorship has every right to bring the kingdom of God into your life. He has the right to zap your brain and force you to serve as his own personal robot. This is the goal of the Dark Lord in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy, even though he has no right to make slaves out of free men. Our king has every right to put us in chains. But even with all those rights, rather than lording it over us, he calls out to us. Gratefully, cheerfully, as though we had no further desire to live life for ourselves, because we agree with Paul, who says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 calls us to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. The infiniteness of God's grace is so clear when we realize that God has made this an option to us. He gives us the freedom to show our love for him. I don't know about you. That makes me want to follow him all the more. His grace to us is even more apparent when we look at the next part of the story where he gives this demon absolutely no options whatsoever. It's here that Mark gives us a second lesson about Jesus. When Jesus says something, you can count it happening. In the next part of the story, we find Jesus teaching in the synagogue. His new disciples are listening to him preach, and verse 22 tells us they were amazed by the authority with which he spoke. Mark put this part of the story here, knowing that it's dangerous to follow Jesus. But he wants us to see Jesus' authority in action so we won't be so scared. The demon-possessed man is staying here, and we're not sure just how long that he's been attending services there without anyone knowing it. But on this particular day, he blew his cover as soon as Jesus started teaching. It must have been Jesus' air of authority that set the demon off. We have no reason to think that the demon recognized him by his physical appearance, because the Bible tells us that Jesus was a regular-looking guy. But as the demon speaks through the man, you can tell he knows what he's up against. Look at how he talks in verse 24. What do we have to do with you, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? Not I and me, but we and us. This demon has woven himself through this man so tightly that there's no way in heaven or hell he's going to let this poor guy get away from him. Then he hisses at Jesus. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. To which Jesus says, be quiet, literally, be muzzled. You see, Jesus didn't need Satan's help telling the world who he is. He didn't want demonic testimony about himself any more than political candidates like Donald Trump want Biden to be backing him up, or vice versa. So he tells the demon to shut up and come out of that man. And with that, the demon tried one last his old convulsive attack, but then he had to submit to Jesus' authority and come out of the man. Verse 27 tells us that everyone there was amazed, buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says? He shuts up demonic spirits and sends them packing. They were surprised because in those days, guys who cast out demons needed some kind of a magical formula to make it come out. He'd do some kind of special dance and say, a la peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. In the name of my God with a little G, I command you to come out. And even then, results were hit and miss, almost as the demons were playing with the exorcists and would sometimes humor him to give a false sense of power. Jesus needed no magical words. He said, come out of him. And the demon could do nothing else but. But Jesus says something, you can count on it. You can count on it happening. That's how it always is with Jesus. And God challenges us to give his words all of our attention. As it is right now, you and I probably have more in common with a certain congregation that was socializing after the morning service and conversations turned to the sermon. Pastor had spoken about Jesus' encounter with an unfruitful fig tree, where he had told the thing to never produce again, and it quickly withered away. People made various comments before one woman piped up. Well, this morning's message has inspired me to take action. What do you plan to do? Someone asked. I'm going straight to the store and buy some cookies, she replied. I have a sudden craving for Fig Newtons. maybe this lady missed Jesus' point because she didn't take him seriously. As we study the book of Mark together, we'll come across some remarkable statements. For example, Jesus will tell his disciples they can do things even more remarkable than this casting out of a demon. And if we have a little faith, we can tell the mountain to take a swim in the sea. Will I try to explain those statements away for you so you don't have to believe them? No. Because the Word of God is dependable. When Jesus says something, you can count on it happening. So as we read Jesus' words together, think them over very well, and then do as he says. No questions asked, no answers expected. He calls, we come. Leaving behind the nets, let's jump out of the boat and follow him into this great adventure, saying, "Here I am, Lord. I'm here. I'm yours to command. Every part of me belongs to you. I'll leave it all behind for you, my Master, my Savior, my Lord, and my God." In conclusion, the story is told of the military legend Alexander the Great, who had conquered almost all of the known world. One day, on the warpath, Alexander and a small company of soldiers approached a strongly fortified walled city, and Alexander raised his voice and demanded to see the king. When the king arrived, Alexander ordered him to surrender the city and everyone inside to Alexander and his little band of fighting men. The king laughed. "Why should I surrender to you? You can't do us any harm." But Alexander offered to give the king indemnification. He ordered his men to line up single file and start marching. He marched them toward a sheer cliff. The townspeople gathered on the wall and watched in shocked silence as one by one, Alexander's soldiers marched without hesitation right off the cliff to their deaths. After 10 soldiers died, Alexander ordered the rest of the men to return to his side. The townspeople and the king immediately surrendered to Alexander. They realized that if a few men were willing to commit suicide at the command of this dynamic leader, then nothing could stop his eventual victory. Are you willing to be as obedient to the ruler of the universe, Jesus Christ, as those soldiers were to Alexander? Are you as dedicated and committed? Think how much power Christ could have in our area with just a portion of such commitment. The beauty of our Lord Jesus is that, unlike Alexander, Jesus loves his followers and wants what's best for them. He proved this once for all at the cross when he allowed himself to be murdered so that with his blood he could pay the price to free us from Satan himself, that the kingdom of God could come in and we could serve a new king who loves us and rules justly. Amen.
Amen.
We thank for all we have received, O God, gifts of love and time, money and abilities. In these bowls in this place, return a portion of these gifts. Bless those who receive them, just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen.
Thank you.
gather our gifts, our hearts, our very lives, loving God, and use them in your work of reconciliation, grace, and hope for all your children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, let us lift our hearts in faith to the one who hears all prayers and holds close all those in need. For the church, that the authoritative teachings of Jesus will guide and challenge us as we seek to be more authentic disciples. We praise you, Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are prophets, that they may understand the mind and heart of God, share God's word faithfully and clearly, and awaken new insights for the renewal of the church and the advancement of the reign of God. We praise you, Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who exercise authority, that they may use their authority as Jesus did, to free people, to heal the sick, and to build up the community. We praise the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have mental and emotional illness, that God's love will strengthen, heal, and sustain them, and help us to accompany them along life's journey. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For members of Congress and legislatures, that they will hear and comprehend the needs of the powerless and marginalized as legislation and priorities are developed. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are held unjustly, for those caught in human trafficking, and for prisoners of conscience, that God will free them and give them strength. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace, that God will impel leaders to a deeper dialogue that will promote safety and development for all people. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Restore them so they can be a blessing to others and share fully the life of Jesus. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, that their souls be at peace in eternal grace, and those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We make our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Holy God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring healing to all wounds. Make whole all that is broken. Speak truth to all illusion and shed light in every darkness, that all creation will see your glory and know your Christ. Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
All right, folks, announcements. Before we start that, first announcement. Restroom breaks?
Before
church and after church. Please, we're all adults. This is an emergency. Next announcement. Progress for prayer. You might need one if you have to go to the bathroom again. All right, pray at DallasKLC.com. Pray at DallasKLC.com. That's the email address, folks. If you have a prayer request, that's where you can send that. You can also go to DallasChurch.com and click on prayer requests. We pray every day here at Dallas Church Select Church. You can ask that your prayer be sent anonymously, or that you give us your name. We'd like to tell the name about that. You can also ask that your prayer be sent during our daily prayers, or during our prayers and session here on Sunday. Let's pray at DallasChurch.com, or you can go to DallasChurch.com and click on prayer requests. It's not like a new day, is it? There we go. You can't make a difference. We are a church of volunteers. All of us here are volunteers. There's 6 salary, including myself. And the only way we make it in the world is through our tithing from our community and from people out there in the world on YouTube land and Yahoo and Podcastville. I was going to say Yahoo, but I don't know why. Podcastville. in the universe of the internet and those watching us out in the world, and hopefully in the universe. And let me tell you, we don't make it without y'all. And it's tough right now. It was tough for everybody. The economy is kind of rough right now in the United States.
That's right.
It is. And we need your help. It's tough to keep our doors open. And just things like candles and computers and you know, just everything, electric bill.
Electric bill.
New teleprompters or pedals that work properly, right? It costs money. And although we can do this without that, we may not be able to get to the people we can get to by having these things. And I think it's important that we get out there as best we can. So if you could, find in your heart, if you think that you see that the message we're trying to get, this true Christianity, the real meaning of Christianity, not the message that's out there today that everybody else is giving you, but the meaning of Christianity, please consider making donations to Dallas Church Life Church. Go to DallasChurchCity.com and click on donate. We are a nonprofit organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it's hard to stay awake right now, isn't it? And you get all of your donations are tax deductible. It's tax season coming up, folks. It's good thing to remember, okay? Hello.
Huh?
It's supposed to be God talking to me. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. All right. Well, we missed one there. That's okay. What's wrong with that? Pray. Let me get backwards. That's what we did. This is my fault. I have a little remote that I normally do this with folks, and I misplaced it. So I have to kind of go the old school way, and I apologize. I'm fumbling around a little bit today, but look into it. Now, I get all the time people come talking about those people that volunteer, people that help make donations to church and tithes and help us out. I get every time I talk about this, I'm really bad about talking about money. It's one of my worst subjects. I'm just not good at it. But every time I talk about it, and talk about tithing and donating and whatnot, I get somebody that comes to me and says, Bishop, look, I love the church. I really do. I love the church. But I'm broke. I don't have any money. I can't give you anything. You want me to leave? I said, no, man. You do like all of us do. Your time is your money. Donate through your time. And that's just volunteering. I'm in volunteering. We have always have something to do here. I don't know if hours a day for us to finish. I mean, I never will be. There will always be something unfinished here. And I hate to think about that. All you got to do is go to DallasHilson.com and click on volunteer. There you find a list of the volunteer positions we have available. If you don't see something there you like, don't worry about it. Please come on in. I promise you, I will find something for you to do. There's always something to get done. I don't mean it. Seriously, come on in. Come to volunteer with us. It's a way to get to know your congregation, too. Especially if you're new or just wanting to know who we are, come in and volunteer with us. It's a lot of fun. Most of the time. I'm just being honest here. I did. It doesn't work. It's not doing it. Okay. Compliments, concerns, just complaints. I have a complaint. The compliments, concerns, just complaints. You got one of these folks at your email address, feedback@dallasjulsey.com, or simply go to dallasjulsey.com and click on contact us. Very simple, very straightforward. They're all of them very important, though. Please contact compliments, concerns, just complaints. Make sure you do one of those two things there.
Are you looking for open and honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more? Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares? We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:35:30 Central. It's simple. Just go to Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church and enjoy.
Okay. We've been doing our live show on Wednesdays for about just a little over a month now. Yeah, a little over a month. And I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I hope people watching it are enjoying it. There's some flyers up here that look kind of like that thing up there on the screen, just like this. Mm-hmm. That I had made up a bunch of them. Okay. I'm trying to make this work, folks. I think it's a fun idea. I think it's a great idea. It's almost like a little round table prayer service online. So the reach of this is limitless. You just have to, the word has to get out there. Okay. Pick up some of these on your way out. They're up here at the front door. Take some with you. Pass them out. That's what they're there for. On the front here, it's got the thing about the text service. And on the back side, a little biography about me. It talks about our channel on Pastor Sean Condren Television Network, which I'm going to talk about next year. Channel 8 on the Pastor Sean Condren Television Network. PCPSCOTVnetwork.org. We did 24/7, 7 days a week. Dallas ULC broadcasting right there on Channel 8. Okay? It's our own channel there. So, got a lot of things going on with Pastor Sean Condren. He's on the chit something. They've been taking us, and they've really been lumping a lot of faith to us. After today's presentation with some of our things, and about that, but then I'm just kidding. And, you know, things happen. We've been doing this almost 8 years, and we didn't do a lot. We recorded it. We have messed up. You just kind of go back and fix it, and then edit it later and then post, right? It's hard to change. It's hard to get used to. Just keep on going. You know, so that's what we're doing. We're going with it. We're going to get there. I promise. So anyway, but you check us out. Check us out on Wednesdays for the live program, and check us out on Channel 8 on Pastor Sean Condren Office Television Network.
How is the goodness of?
The the channel?
The office.
Channel 8.
Channel 8.
BSCOTVnetwork.org. Channel 8.
That's on TV.
It's on here too, on your flyer here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, on that note, just remind you, all of Dallas ULC church services are now broadcast live as they happen. So it's not recorded and then presented later. It's live as they happen. We do offer them back on our website on YouTube. You can still watch a pre-recorded version. Pre-recorded version of the version. If you just have to be a live version, okay? Now, simply go to https://dallasulc.online.church. That'll take you, if we're having a service, that's where you'll see a service, okay? That'll be live. But right now, https://dallasulc.online.church. Guaranteed, you can see us right there. I'm looking at it right now. There we are. Live.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's again brought to you by the Chester Strong Conference Television Network. All right, moving along.
Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off for you. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off for you. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off for you. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off for you. Wash your hands, don't forget to wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, don't forget to wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, don't forget to wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, don't forget to wash your hands.
Don't buy all the toilet paper.
So, why are we playing this dumb little jingle on Sunday church service? We're supposed to be praising God and everything else. And doing, why is that playing up here?
Because COVID variant is bad.
Yeah, that's right. COVID variant is bad. It's a strong one. In fact, I just got my latest booster on Friday. I'm still sore. But you know what? It's worth it. Folks, listen, washing your hands is the easiest way to stop viruses from being passed from you to somebody else. You should be washing your hands in every sink you possibly can. I don't care what you're doing, take out a lot of sink, go wash your hands. Your soap and water takes at least. You must wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. That's a long time. That's almost as long as that video was, okay? Long time, 20 seconds, soap and water, lather them up, right? Then, rinse them. Then, take a towel, dry your hands, turn the faucet off with a towel, throw it away, and use hand sanitizer that's available. Continue to practice social distancing, wear your mask if necessary, and go get your vaccines and your boosters, please. Mm-hmm. If we all would just take care of ourselves a little better and have a little more hygiene amongst ourselves, we wouldn't have this problem. Think about what you do with your hands every day, okay? Mm-hmm. Think about all the people that touch this doorknob over here, you go touch it. Well, they've done with their hands, and then you go touch your mouth.
What are you saying?
Disgusting. Ugh. That's how these diseases continue to rise up in our communities.
Yeah.
People just forget to wash your hands. But you go get the Lysol. You know, Lysol, what's the other stuff? That microband. That stuff's great. 24 hours on there. We use it here at church. Spray the doorknobs, spray your refrigerator handles, spray everything that you touch, okay? And continue to wash your hands. Gavin, when you go back to the bathroom, you close the door. Okay. All right. Hand sanitizer going around right now. Right on cue. Here we go. All right.
You got that?
Yeah.
Guess what time is getting close to you, folks? Can we just have Christmas?
Yeah.
Ash Wednesday is coming up, folks. And again, this year, it's a special day because it happens to fall on Valentine's Day. So Ash Wednesday will be on February the 14th. February the 14th, 2024. That's about 2 weeks, right? Am I right about that? A little over 2 weeks. He's right here with me right now.
Yeah.
I know there's hand sanitizer on. Listen up. Mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday service. Okay, normally on Wednesdays we do what? What do you do on you're on Wednesday normally?
Live.
We do a live your path by with Mr. Mark, right?
Right.
Your path by. So that Wednesday, Valentine's Day. It's always interesting. That day, Valentine's Day, we will have, instead of having the live broadcast, we will do a live service. At 6:30. You know, we used to do it at 5:30, we're changing to 6:30, which is the time the normal broadcast would start with the live, okay? So, the 14th, we plan on being here on Wednesday the 14th, but before 6:30, so we can start the service and have a beautiful Ash Wednesday service to begin Lent in preparation of what? So what would we pray?
Easter.
What are we praying for?
Easter.
We've been praying for Easter 40 days till Easter when Lent comes along. The Ash Wednesday comes, okay? Very important. All right. What time, Gavin? What time would you just be there?
I don't know. 3:30.
He's already in 6:30, Gavin. 6:30. 6:30 on Valentine's Day. Let's not be eating supper. 6:30. Think about that. That's Valentine's dinner. You have here and then fast that day. We'll be there, right?
Fast what?
Guess what? We made it. I don't know how. But we made it through today's service. So let's rise.
Yay.
Folks, there will be around you.
In the Bob?
No, today.
Not 2 minutes.
No, this one has to go.
It wasn't that bad. Okay. Now go from this sacred space to be with the homeless on the streets, with the lonely in the hospitals. Now leave this family of God to care for those who have been forgotten, to lift those shut aside by the world. Now set aside this holy time to go into the moments of hunger for little children, to be with those whose days seem to have no end. Amen.
Amen.
In the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen. We go in the name of Christ.
Okay, we'll see you then. See you next week.
Well, guess what? Y'all got to sing a song at the end because it didn't come up. So, let's go. We're going to do 10 minutes. Let's start off. We normally start the round table. What did you like? What did you not like? What do you want to keep? What do you want to get rid of? All right, guys. I'm going to really, really, really try and be quieter this time. I can't take it. Try and be quieter and let y'all talk a little bit. I've done my part, and I'm sure I'll have plenty to say after the service today, off the air. But that's okay. We want to talk about what we're going to say on the air. So let's go. Let's talk. Talk to me. Tell me something about where you want to go. What do you want to talk about? Where are we going with this today?
No question.
I ain't got none. Everything is all right for me.
I can't believe it.
It was.
I can't believe it.
It was
so,
good today.
So he does
the one part
that I ain't did here in a while.
From the movie.
It was good. It, just for, you know.
We interviewed Greg for the movie, for the movie 7, that was probably the National Reserve, our anniversary video movie for last year.
Cool.
And he said, you know, what's the one thing you like about, what's one thing you really like about you? He says, your sermons. Sometimes they're good.
I'm not good at speaking.
Sometimes they're good. I agree with you. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not. You know, it's hit and miss. I'm not perfect.
Your sermons are truly commenting on God's word. Is what
they really, like, it really don't matter. You know, all of the songs are speaking about God.
It is. But I think really, you come across the right way. I mean, we've all been to churches where it's been. I listen to my own sermon sometimes when I'm doing anything. I'm not lying. It's
you're
true,
still
right?
getting
I
the word of God out there. It might not be much, but you still get it.
Everything in the Bible is boom, bang, bam, and all this wonderful fun.
No,
there's a lot going on. It's kind of boring, but it's important for us to know. So that's why we do that. Okay, I'm going to cut the church again.
Like a lineage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That too.
First chapter.
Oh, wow.
Question?
Yeah. Probably that one during service. What book is it again, Baylor?
Just the lineage.
There's a whole lineage. There's a whole thing. There's a whole book of it. I can't remember what book it is.
Side stuff.
Yeah. There's a whole book of just the lineage of from, you know, all the way back to David.
Yeah.
And going. Yeah. All of it. Who that person, this person, did that, and this, that. It's all this marriage, and it just keeps going. It's a whole book of it.
Exactly.
And it's the most boring thing you've ever read in your life.
Yeah, Leviticus might as well just be a bunch of rule reading.
You're not allowed to give you Revelations.
And the Revelations.
Not allowed to give you Revelations. Which is so controversial to begin with. You know, there's, you know, what is, who wrote it, why.
I start over
with
the
whole
book. That's right. We had homework.
Uh-oh.
You're exempt. What was your assignment? Gavin, can you tell us what the assignment was? You have no idea, do you?
Just get the book of Revelation.
Partially.
And how do you...
Partially. We want to know, look, I wanted you to research it a little bit, because Book of Revelations is controversial about the book, okay? The Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church doesn't recognize it at all, okay? They don't recognize it at all. It was written by, not John the Apostle, it was written by someone called John the Elder.
Yeah.
John the Elder. And his writing style and whatnot is different from anything else. And, you know.
It is. I know it is.
Anyway, so we'll go find out. Anybody got anything? Anybody do any homework? Why are we doing this?
We're talking about our creed.
Our yearly exam of our creed, right? Both of the creed, because we're not stuck in doctrine from 2,000 years ago. We are. We move and evolve with the world as it does.
And the universe as
it does. Okay, right? So, yes, things change. Beliefs change. And it's important that we continue to do that rather than just reciting words that we may or may not believe.
Because
so, what the question was we talked about, and Baylor, I'm glad you're here for this. This is my
gift. We talked about
Jesus will come again to judge both the living and the dead.
Are y'all ready?
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem I have with it. Here's the deal. The Bible clearly states that when we die, we go into what's called a sleep. And wait for the coming of the second coming of Jesus for the judgment day, right?
That part is in.
It's in the Bible.
I don't remember the exact, but it is in there.
Okay, it's there in the Bible. Now, here's the deal. How many of us here believe that when you die, you are just asleep, waiting for judgment?
Asleep.
Yes. That's the actual words it uses. You are asleep in the Lord. Asleep waiting for your return.
No, I know this. I've decided cremation is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you something. There's one other part of that. Because that also in that verse it says, and Revelations actually says, that on that judgment day, when he rises, when he judges us, the living and the dead, our bodies will be physically
raised up.
How many of you here believe that?
I believe.
Gavin, I think you're a literalist. I'm starting to worry about you.
I believe John the Elder received whatever vision he received and tried to write it the best he could in the words of the day.
Don't think we're being blasphemous here, folks. Because it's not.
No. But know that how the Bible is written, and by who, and when. Context is everything.
Did God do it as one of these? Because I think he did. And I think he gave it to us not just so we could go read a book. He gave it to us so we could read it and make our own decisions and discern what we believe from that. And know that, look, it pretty much makes sense, folks. I mean, look, God's not going to give us a whole bunch of things that don't make sense. It all pretty much follows a line of, you know what's right and wrong, and here it is, right?
And we can't figure it out.
All these extra rules and all these other junk that we have to follow in our religions, that's us. We made that. That's our structure
we're trying to put on each other,
right? The important thing is, I think if we all just remember one thing here, okay, just a tiny bit here, it all comes down to what? A four-letter word.
Love.
Called love. If you're able to follow the one commandment that Jesus Christ gave his followers, which was to love one another as I have loved you. If you can, that's not easy. No, I'm talking about, look, love every, not just you and you and you, everybody. We love everybody as Jesus loved us. How did he love us? Well, he gave us his life. So if you can do that every day of your life, you don't need to use other rules because you're already doing them. And so those rules, those commandments, all those little things they've given us, they all are pointing us up to this pinnacle of time, being able to love one another as I have loved you. Being able to love everyone unconditionally. And that's it. That's perfect.
To be a Christian is to be Christ-like, literally.
Christ-like. Paul needs some very, very big footsteps. These are footsteps that I've had to climb down into.
And go
for several years walking in one. It's
hard to do that for some of
us. So here's what I want to say about that. The Bible. I've talked about it before, and people are, sometimes they don't like what I say, sometimes they do. The Bible was written by human hands. Although divinely inspired, it was written by human hands. Since the time it was written, it's gone through many, 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 many translations. many different versions, different this and that, different councils and this and secret society, what happened to what, and bishops and this and that, and scribes. Look, it had human hands touched, which made, what helps human hands? Corruption. Greed.
Man. They put what they wanted to put.
Well, some of them did. Look, if you're a scribe and you're the only person in the
world. When they found the old tabloids, they couldn't decipher a lot of this.
Right.
They couldn't.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. But see, you're a scribe and you're translating the Bible, right?
And a lot of it was in Hebrew, and a lot of people didn't know.
Well, no, it was in Greek.
Greek.
And Aramaic. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you're trying to now write in Hebrew. So that everybody can understand it, right? Not people in that time wrote or read. This was getting very, very educated, very special to be able to do that. So, seeing some of the bishops in them did not read, right? So, but you're writing, and you're under this bishop in this area, right? And he's writing, and you need to redo what you say, and the bishop goes, oh, no, wait a minute. I see it this way, and you need to change that. That's not what they meant there. Change it to this, and that's the way it is. Now, you have two choices there. Here's your two choices. Go ahead and change it, because the bishop told you to change it, right? We're going to take it off.
You're before the Inquisition.
Exactly. You hear what I'm saying, right? So, look, these people were able to manipulate this word of God into what they wanted it to bear for, what they wanted it to use it for. So you have to kind of decide, you have to go through the Bible and you have to, with a fine tooth comb, and go, look, this is what I believe, this is what I don't believe.
You also needed a tool to comfort and control the masses.
Absolutely. That's a lot of what the resource for. I mean, you talked about it last week, right, about being Christian. Talk about. Think about not hearing about Christianity ever. Because when you come into your door system, not. Hi, I'm with the Christian, I'm from Christ Church, and we're here to tell you about our leader. He died, he was crucified by the government, and they buried him, and 3 days later he rose again, and then he rose into heaven. Slam the door, right?
Yeah.
What'd you say? It probably in Greek or Aramaic.
So
Greek or Aramaic. If Greek or Aramaic is Aramaic is a dead language, it's an old language.
I know it was written way after.
It was written after. But it was probably still the same. You need to understand, the Bible was not translated for a long, long time. And they only found parts of it, I'm sure. I mean, the Catholic Church, I know everybody knows this, has parts of the Bible that they have not released to us. So they weren't kept out.
I'm just wondering, there's a lot of probably literature that's why was this not somebody could have just written anything about what they've already read and then made
some style of it.
So I'm making up. And so it's the thing that matters, why did that specific one get added to what they call now the Bible?
Good question.
And I've always had that question, and the way it's been put to me is this.
Same with Wikipedia, by the way.
You'll find there's not just one account. There's a few accounts of the birth of Christ. So when putting stuff into the Bible or selecting it,
but when it has to do with something that has not happened yet and what could be happening.
Good point.
Like what is
again?
What
gave the authority? Is Hansen, right?
Who's
John? Just
like
and we aren't sure who it was.
I mean, he could be just as crazy as the person who wrote. Right,
those streets saying other words flat. But hold on a second. Let's just look at it this way then. Okay, they're great questions, and there's a lot of things we don't have answers to, right? So here's what I have to say about this. It's the same thing I say with the rest of the world. Okay. What is it there for? It's there to teach us what? A lesson. How to live our lives, right? Does it matter to you right now if we are, when we die, are asleep or go to heaven and meet? Does it matter right now?
No.
Not really, because you can't really do anything about it. You can't change that.
Then you can't turn that up. Well, I'm glad you did. It's not me.
Yeah, he's still on the set.
Oh.
Don't answer it. Hang it up.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Church. Your church.
I know.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying about that. Look, there's not anything you can do about it. I mean, you can't change it. Once it happens, it happens. You'll know then if you're not right or wrong.
That's true.
Look, I explained last week to everybody here, in my opinion, this is my opinion, it's my belief, okay? I have a wonderful gift that has been given to me that I've been able to use a few times, or has been used to me a few times, of being able to kind of transcend that valley of death and speak to or hear from souls. Now, if they're asleep, I don't know how the hell they're talking to me.
Right. Especially the CPAP machine.
I'm telling you.
No. I'm not going to be around here no more.
I think that's rising from the ground. It's a symbolistic way of, I don't know what you're trying to say, but I don't believe it. Look, we talk very plainly in the Bible about, especially coming up on Ash Wednesday, which we have coming up shortly, that remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's all this stuff is dust. God created us. That's a miracle of him. He created us out of the dust, out of the dirt, and made us into this, and breathe that breath of life. That's where it comes from. That's
right.
The soul, it's inside. Sure. It's just a vessel. So for them to have to actually say something like, our bodies will be raised up, I don't see that being feasible there.
Absolutely.
But again, they're using the words of the day that they knew. They don't have, they might not have words for
right.
Your soul or something like that.
What it might actually happen. We may not have a word for what may actually
happen. We had to make up a lot of things, kind of guess what they thought. Guess what they were running and wanted to say. Again, if you don't know, if you can't find the answers, you still can't, I'm still confused about what's going on in the Bible and what you're reading, just ask God.
No, you're Greek class.
You're
theologians, the reason why they do what they do is because they take.
Because what?
They take your Greek. They learn different languages.
It's not an easy job. The problem is these guys, and they're hard asses. They are for a reason. This is important stuff for people. A lot of people take this very much, especially the literalists who read the Bible and say that every word in the Bible is exactly the way it is, and that's the way it is, and that's it.
And where they
God has multiple names.
I agree.
That's right.
Yeah. And
he's still one God. He's still one God.
But he's multiple.
Just because you call him by a different name doesn't mean he's not the same God.
He's the same God, yes.
How many times have I said it? Look at all the major religions out there. What are they trying to teach us? If you look at the basis of all the major religions out there, it's teaching the same thing. It's all the same thing, just from a different point of view. Honestly, it is. The same thing, with the same kind of stories from a different point of view, teaching the same thing, how to love each other. What happened? Okay, we'll check it out. I'm still green over here. I had a microphone problem, though. Sorry about that. Let me fix it real quick. It was muted. Okay, I did that on Naturally Rhyming's Adventure also. Yeah, good dogs working. Okay, so. So what I'm saying is, we're not so different here, folks. You know, everybody wants to talk about, the Islams, and the Muslims, and the Hindus, and the Buddhists, and Arabs. Look, you need to consider where we are, first of all, and what this is. We are this little speck of a blue planet in this vast, something we can't even comprehend. Don't try to make it great.
It'll be destroyed.
This little, and it had to be so perfectly put here and placed into this plate in this new part of our universe that we survived. And we haven't found another place in our view that we can call something similar to that, something that's habitable as that. That's pretty amazing, right in itself. So, if you think of us, all of us being on this planet together, and realize we were really not so different in so many ways. Look, we are different because God made us different, because it'd be real boring if there was a bunch of meat running around.
Yeah,
I would put right. You and race wouldn't last very long. You'd kill each other, you know?
Probably.
But seriously, we're a lot more alike people than we think we are. And if you start getting down to the basics, you're not going to make your plans after service, okay? Mm-hmm. You're getting down to the basics of your religions here. You're getting down to the basics of the theology of study of God, the study of your religion, the study of your faith. Mm-hmm. You'll see that they all pretty much match.
Love.
Yeah, exactly. He's in Greece. I think that's my cue. You don't have anything else today. Obviously, we're getting a little restless. Folks, I'm going to ask you again, please. Understand, I know it's different now, and it's a little different now for us as a church, okay? We used to be able to edit things out and just do whatever we want to do and say, what we want to say, okay? We are live where we do the service here now. Anytime that we're doing the service here, we are live. Please. Act accordingly. Please remember that. Please try not to interrupt the service. Please go to the restroom before service. During the intermission. Okay? And not twice in 10 minutes. Okay. Let's pray our way out of here.
Alright, that's it. Did
you see what's in my lap? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're fine. You can join us. Come on, man. First, a big shout out to Pastor Sean Condren, Office of Times Network. Thank you very much for having us today.
Thank
We're
going
to get there, folks. I promise.
Hi, Jeremy. We love you. We'll get there.
All right, let's go ahead and pray our way out here, folks. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship and praise you as we so rightfully should. Not so, so many people in this world today that just for doing what we're doing here would be killed or shunned or discriminated against. We thank you for the opportunity to do this. Lord, please watch over all of us this coming week. Help us to discern your truths. Help us to understand where you want us to go. Help us stay on your path and help each other stay on their paths. Lord, we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please help me break down before you leave. These lights got to go out, save me some electricity. Okay. I was thank you very much. Bye, everybody.